This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. In the 1960s, America was changing in many ways. The civil rights movement meant greater black representation in many fields, including sports. One place where race and sports intersected was at Michigan State University. The movie Through the Banks of the Red Cedar is being shown in Grand Rapids at the Wealthy Theater on Wednesday. The film's producer is Maya Washington. She will be at the screening along with her father, Gene, who came from Texas to East Lansing to play football in 1963 and went on to a career in the NFL. We will hear from Gene Washington shortly. Maya Washington, thank you for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Give us the backstory. How and when did you decide that you were going to make this film?
Well, it all started about 7 years ago, this past August. Bubba Smith passed away in August of 2011, and I had the opportunity to attend the memorial and spend some time with my dad and his teammates in Bubba's home after he passed. And it was the first time I started to hear some of the specific details about my dad's time at Michigan State, but also his unique relationship to Bubba Smith and his father. My dad got to Michigan State because of a recommendation from Bubba Smith's father, Willie Ray Smith, who had a connection to Duffy, who was kind of starting to create that pipeline for African-American athletes in the South to Michigan State. And my dad and Bubba played against each other as high school students in the all-black leagues because their schools were segregated. And my dad attended an all-black school in Baytown, even though he had a school right in his own neighborhood of LaPorte. He had to be bused to another neighborhood in order to attend high school. So I always knew my dad had this unique experience of leaving segregation and heading to the North. And he and my mom settled in the North in Minnesota after he was drafted to the Vikings. So I understood the importance of what my parents had gone through, living through segregation, but I didn't really know the details. So I was inspired after Bubba's passing and my dad's opportunity to be in the Ring of Honor at Michigan State and some other cool things that happened in the fall of 2011, including being inducted into the National College Football Hall of Fame, that made me think, wow, this is an amazing history. I need to tell this story.
And you were born after your father had retired from the NFL, correct?
Exactly. So I really didn't know my dad as a football player or an athlete. I knew him as a very fit guy, you know, for whom working out was always very important, watching sports on TV. But I really missed out on really seeing his life as an athlete. So this project has really been an eye-opener for me and an opportunity to get to know my dad and his history in a really special way.
Is there a bond amongst those players, your father and the others who are still alive? And was there a bond with the others who have since passed away just because of what they experienced, the time that they were growing up and the changes that they got to experience themselves?
Absolutely. It's really remarkable. And I think that connection that my dad and his teammates have is what really inspired me. We were gathered at Bubba's home the night before the memorial. And it was the first time I really started to see my dad as a human being outside of being my dad, seeing him interact with his teammates, joke, you know, tell old stories about their college days. It allowed me to start thinking about my college days and relating to my dad in a new way, seeing him amongst his friends and teammates. And absolutely, for many of the players from the South who lived through segregation, as well as some of the players of all backgrounds from northern cities, this was really a unique opportunity for them to come together as a team, having maybe humble beginnings and building what is arguably maybe the best recruiting class in college football history, but to have such an amazing legacy of winning back-to-back national titles along with what Duffy Doherty did to sort of create diversity in the game that really we didn't see prior to 1963 to 67. We saw it in little bits and pieces, but I think bringing so many talented athletes together from different backgrounds just created a bond between them that lasts 50-plus years later.
As you mentioned, this kind of started with the passing of Bubba Smith. Some of those other great players have passed away. George Webster, has died. Charles Thornhill passed away years ago. Was it important in a way to get this story told now while there is still a certain core of players who are left, like your father, who can talk about what happened back in the 1960s?
Absolutely. You know, one of the reasons I proceeded with an independent project is completely financed out of my pocket, out of the generosity of people who believed in the film, a lot of alumni, friends and family, because waiting, you know, for some outlet or an institution to sort of help us tell the story would have meant that we'd have to delay things even further. And so it was really important, the timeliness of the story and the opportunity through the documentary to interview these remaining players who are still with us, to tell their stories so that we can highlight the legacies of those who've passed, like Charlie Thornhill and George Webster and others who've passed even since the film has been created and released. Here in the Twin Cities, we just had a loss at the Minnesota Vikings, Fred Zambrilletti, who was a longtime trainer with the organization who's in the film, recently passed away. So it's really critical that we continue to learn from, hear from, talk to these players who made such an amazing impact, because time is unfortunately of the essence, and we are losing players as they age. So it really is special that we've been able to share this history in this way, and hopefully through screening it, we can continue to share those stories with new audiences.
How much is this a film, sort of the history of race and sports colliding, and how much of it is a film that is about family and about maybe a daughter discovering what her father lived years ago?
It's really, I hope, a kind of a balanced weave of those elements of this really important historical narrative about the desegregation of college football, what early players went through at the college level, as well as for my dad and his teammates at the Minnesota Vikings, some of the challenges they faced as early African-American pioneers. But how we investigate that history is through a father-daughter story. Because all of these things happened before I was born, throughout the course of the film, which is shot at the backdrop of the 2013-2014 college football season, you see my dad and I getting closer to one another as I learn more about this history. But also sort of the third element of that braid is the opportunity to reflect on how what happened 50 years ago is still relevant today, that the young people in college and in professional sports are also contending with questions about race and sports and how we all work together. So it really is sort of a braid is the best way to describe it. It's a film about family. It's a film about race and sports, but also a film about where we are today by looking back at what happened in the past.
And what do you think it tells us about today in particular when you look back at your father's experience and others, you know, who went through that time of trying to integrate college football, and as you say, experiencing also discrimination in the NFL in those days. What do you think it tells us about where we're at today?
Well, I think what I'm most humbled by is my dad and his teammates, because of the conditions that they lived in the South, things that for my generation, we've always lived in what's been coined a post-racial world or an integrated environment where things I take for granted, like being able to use the restroom or being able to enter the front door of a store or a restaurant and be served, these were things that were not available to my dad. And prior to maybe this 7 years ago when I started to ask more questions about it, my dad and his teammates, they weren't really talking about the humiliations they faced, the challenges that they went through on a day-to-day basis as Black citizens, not being able to fully participate in the American dream and having their dreams and their opportunities limited. And so I think that is something that I'm really grateful I've had a chance to learn a little more about firsthand from them sharing some of their experiences, but also sharing how critical is that opportunity to get that athletic scholarship, to have an opportunity to excel academically, to start and build a career for themselves so that they could choose to have families and provide for their families down the line outside of sports. You know, my dad and many men of his era in the NFL, they weren't seeing the salaries that we see today. Most of them had day jobs while they were playing professional sports. So my dad always had a day job while playing for the Vikings for all of the seasons he was with the Vikings and then later the Broncos. So I think for my generation, we've only seen African-Americans on the field. We've only seen, you know, these enormous, amazing salaries and these great opportunities for athletes, both at the college level and the pro level. But learning from and hearing from the accounts of my dad's generation, I think really helps us put what's happening today into perspective. We do have a way to go in terms of equal access and opportunity for all Americans in terms of housing and education and, you know, how we move about in the world. And what's really true is we've come a long way, but we do have a ways to go. And I think looking at my dad's generation as those who really pioneered and lived through such tremendous change is just really important. I'm really grateful that I've had an opportunity to sort of investigate some of these issues through the film.
I've heard it said that parents, especially parents who have faced discrimination or racism, will tell their kids as much as they think they need to know, but sometimes won't share the whole story. Do you think that was your dad's approach, or was this just the sort of thing that maybe in your childhood it didn't come up as much? Because as you said, by that point, he had retired from the NFL.
Well, I think it came up in subtle ways. My parents raised my siblings and I in a pretty much a predominantly white community. So we were always very aware of race, whether our peers at school or our teachers or others in the community were aware of it. But there were ways that I was taught to move in the world that were different than maybe some of my classmates who were white were. So, for example, I wasn't allowed to go shopping as a teenager, you know, to go on shopping trips with other little girls, because if someone misbehaved or shoplifted or did something wrong, because I would be the black child in the group of teenagers, it was always important to them to make sure that I wasn't scapegoated or put in the wrong situation at the wrong time. So how I moved in the world was informed by my parents' experiences growing up in the South, where, you know, if you are out past a certain time of night and something happens to you or you experience racial violence, those were real issues that they had to deal with and contend with. And so they brought that into sort of my day-to-day in a very different environment, but I was very conscious of certain limitations based on the potential of being discriminated against, being racially targeted, encountering, you know, racial slurs and things on the playground, or those types of experiences that were part of my upbringing as well as my sister's. But in terms of me fully understanding their day-to-day life, no, they didn't tell a lot of the difficult or painful stories about what it's like to sort of live in a state of segregation and be so limited. So in some ways, I think it really was a blessing because I had the opportunity to really live a boundless life, to have dreams and visions, and for them to be in a position to support me and pursuing dreams like eventually becoming a filmmaker and being an artist and a lot of things I've had access to that my parents didn't or my grandparents didn't. But in terms of how they prepared me as a black woman in the world, I had a lot to do with their experiences growing up in segregation, their experiences facing discrimination in corporate America, their experiences facing discrimination in housing and those types of things that they weathered gracefully, but it was part of preparing me for the real world so that I could be successful despite the possibility that I would run into discrimination or racism.
So I have to ask you about the title. It's Through the Banks of the Red Cedar. People who know the Michigan State fight song, including a graduate like myself, knows that it begins on the banks of the Red Cedar. So how did you end up choosing the word through?
So I'm thinking about, because it is obviously very familiar to Michigan State fans and alum, the fight song, but this idea that through the banks of the Red Cedar, through Michigan State, and the work of John Hanna and Biggie Munn and Duffy Doherty to create a more inclusive campus and expanding opportunities for African American and Pacific Islanders in athletics at Michigan State really had an impact on future generations of students, of athletes, but also people like me who are the children of those young men and women who really sort of set the foundation of diversity and inclusion at Michigan State. So it's through the banks of the Red Cedar that we have the opportunities that we have today, I think, in sports, particularly for people of color, but also through the hard work and efforts of individual people just sort of living their lives, doing what was right in order to make a major impact.
Maya Washington is the producer of the documentary Through the Banks of the Red Cedar. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans.